We are excited today. We are in the last installment of Walking with Him, and what an apropos installment to be to discuss what it means to resurrect, not only resurrect from the dead, but the doctrine of eternal judgment. This is not a negative, like some people would feel. They go, man, why would you teach on eternal judgment on Mama's Day? You're going to scare my mama away. No, it's called the gospel. It means good news. And so today I have some good news to share with you about what the end of the world is going to happen and make it very easy for you to understand. First of all, if you would, I want to just kind of give you a definition of what it means when we say doctrine of eternal judgment. There are six doctrinal things as a believer, a Christian, that every believer should know. Maybe you were never told this, you were never shown this verse, but I want to show you what should be your foundational truth. So if we can, let's go to Hebrews in the King James Version, chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 1, okay? All right? We're going to get that building. We're going to get that building. I believe that smile told me we're going to get that building right there. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, meaning there's a point in our life we have to move on from the basic teachings of the Bible. So I don't know about you. When I read this, it really threw me because I didn't even have the basics. So where was I to move on if no one told me what the basics were? Here's what he says. Let us go on to perfection. It doesn't mean to be flawless. It literally means when I'm perfected, I'm mature, meaning I'm making mature decisions. I'm doing mature things spiritually. I'm speaking maturely. Now watch this. Watch what it says. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of, and here's the first doctrine, repentance from dead works. So there's an understanding, there's a doctrine, which means what does it mean to repent from dead works? What are dead works? And then the second one is this, and of faith towards God. So you repent from, and you don't just stay away from things, you must now have faith towards God. That's the first two. Let's read on the number three. Watch this. Of the doctrine of baptisms. Meaning that there are three baptisms in the Bible. The first one that we covered, if you missed it, just go back in our series. The first one we covered was baptism into the body of Christ. The moment you become a believer, you are baptized into his body. The second is what you're going to see today. There's a young girl about to be baptized in water. And the third one is this, baptism in the Holy Spirit. By the way, we were at a funeral yesterday, and one of the incredible things that happened, the man who was playing today was related to the gentleman that died at the funeral, and he played yesterday. And at the end of that funeral, 15 souls gave their life to Jesus. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Come on, man. What if it was your family? Woo! 15 souls at a funeral. At a funeral. Man. So it says the doctrine of baptism, the laying on of, and watch this, the laying on of hands. Meaning, what does it mean to lay your hands on somebody? What's all that? Is this weird, you know, is it real goofy stuff? Is it someone trying to push you down? No. There is real power in understanding the power of your hands and what God put in it. We just covered that last week. And watch this, resurrection of the dead. What happens to you when you die? We covered that when on Easter, just in preparation for Easter. But today, we close out with this one, eternal judgment. There is a doctrine of eternal judgment. So today we're going to find out what is that doctrine. So doctrine of eternal judgment means it's a teaching that, watch this, God will bring all men before him and judge the wicked for their wickedness, but the righteous for their righteousness. And those who are living with Christ shall live forever and ever. Let me say this to you. You know, sometimes we think that when a person dies, they're just asleep. But the Bible says to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. So when you're born again and you pass in this world, you immediately go to heaven. But guess what? There is another judgment for you. Did you know that? Man, everybody was like, I thought I made it, you know? No. He doesn't judge you based on your righteousness that was already done through Jesus Christ. His righteousness saves you, and that allows you to get in. But then what you do with your walk is what matters. This gets good. You know what I love to eat? Oatmeal raisin cookies. I mean, you get me some good old oatmeal raisin cookies, put some raisins up in there, man, I will slap somebody's mama. Yes, sir. Nobody here, but yes, sir. Listen, this is where it gets good, because let me tell you something. Every good deed that you do on earth is never lost in the sight of God. Hallelujah. You don't have to be a pope. You could be the dude who just helped the lady across the street when she thought, I'm too terrified by cars, and that gets marked down on your record in eternal judgment. There are rewards in heaven for what you do good on this earth. Somebody say amen. Amen. But guess what? If it's true for that, it's true for the other. Somebody say, oh, Jesus. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 6 through 10. I want to show you something. I'm going to try to move very quickly. This is the Apostle Paul talking about eternal judgment. He says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus, watch this, shall be revealed with heaven with his mighty angels. In other words, the end is going to be like this. He's going to pop out the sky, coming on in a cloud from heaven. And the Bible says, not by himself, but with his holy angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that what? Don't know God. Whew. And that obey, but see, watch this. This is the good one. It's not only those who don't know God. Let's see who else gets it. And the other person is, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it tells us what kind of punishment. Who shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. You know, many people say, well, what is hell? Hell is just, you know, being on earth is hell. Anybody ever heard that before? Man, right here, it's hell right where I'm at. Anybody ever heard that? Well, listen, let me tell you something. This ain't nothing to the real deal. It ain't nothing to the real deal. When he says this, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? We know what that means. The Bible taught us that when the rich man died, he looked up his eyes in flames, being in torment. But here's the kicker. You think the flames are bad. That ain't it. Let me tell you what it is. You are destruction from the presence of the Lord. Man, see, right now, we feel the presence of God here. But imagine a time in life where you don't feel that at all. In eternal judgment, God is fair. Everybody say fair. Because he has decided the one gift that he gives to mankind is free choice. You can choose to love him or choose to hate him. That's your choice. That's how he operates, because otherwise we all would be robots, right? We would love him because he made us love him. But that's not how he operates. He loves us, so he gives us freedom. Have you ever heard someone ever ask the question, why did God let Eve eat the apple in the beginning and get us into all this mess? Women, why? They're like, what? It's because Mother's Day. No, it wasn't because of Mother's Day. It's because everybody was given free choice. And that's the beauty of the believer and the unbeliever, is that God goes after us all, that we might do works that that will bring glory to him, but we all have the freedom of choice. And watch this. I want to read on a little bit. Let's go to verse 10. And here's what's going to happen when he comes back at the end of time. We already heard when he comes in on that cloud, he's bringing angels with swords. And then it says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. When he shows up, every person that has named him as Lord is going to light up like a Roman candle, and you're going to shine as bright as the sun. When he returns for the eternal judgment, you have nothing to fear because he is your Lord. He made you a promise. I go away to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'll be with you always, but I'm coming back on a cloud, and I'm going to make your tears go away. That's what he's going to do. Eternal judgment means he's going to stop the nonsense of sin. Hello, somebody. How many have ever run into the nonsense of sin in your life where it just messed up a good thing? I know I have. When he comes back, all that gets burned away. But let me tell you why a lot of this is happening. It isn't just because of sin. It's because of Satan. Everybody say Satan. The question is, where is he now? Where is that Joker at? Is he in here? Is he across the street? Where is he? Think about that. Is he in chains? Is he in heaven? Does the Bible tell us? Well, let's hope so. Go to Job 1 and 7. Job, let me tell you how he operates. Then I'm going to give you some good news. Job 1 and 7. Where is this Joker at? Watch this. And the Lord said to Satan, or it's pronounced Shaitan. The Lord spoke to Satan and said, where are you coming from? He was like, I was over at Bebe's house. That's where I was coming from. Now watch this. Then Satan answered the Lord, because he had no choice, and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. See, a lot of people think he's in heaven and he's, you know, arguing with God. No, God argument, that was over. God cast him down. He's here and he's walking to and fro in all the earth and walking down and up in it. He is not omnipresent. No, you didn't hear me. Say it with me. He is not omnipresent. That means he can't be everywhere at the same time. So when you step your toe, it wasn't Satan. Watch this. What is he known as? It's important that we understand what his title is. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And Paul is talking to the believer, and he's saying to those of you in this room a word that we're going to hit really soon. It's called quickened, quickened. And he said, and you hath he quickened, please underline that in your Bible, quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. There was a time in our lives where we were dead to God. We couldn't hear him. We sin didn't bother us. We didn't care how much we cussed. Nothing got on, only people got on our nerves. When we accepted Christ, we got a little tenderness in there. And things began to change. That means he quickened you. Watch this. Verse 2. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the what? Prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience. Wow. We are in a battle, ladies and gentlemen. I think moms understand what it means to fight in a battle. I don't think there's not a mom in here that won't go to blows for your children.
Come on now.
If somebody came in and tried to mess with your kids, Lord help them. I was reading on a story on NPR where a mom was walking in the wilderness with her son, and a cougar came out, a lion actually came out and grabbed the son by the in the mouth, and the mom beat that lion down and took the child out of. Don't ask me how. That's just mom power. You know what I mean? It goes along with that stare. You know what I mean? It's that anything. Well, here's the thing. What happens is that the enemy will come and blind us, but God is fighting for us. I want to show you that no matter what happens, all that he's doing today is going to end. Everyone repeat after me. Trouble won't last always. All right, I want you to go to Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to show you what's going to happen to him. He's walking to and fro on all the earth. Peter describes him as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to create disobedience in people. That's all he wants. He wants you to be, he wants you never to say yes, sir, or no, sir. Admit to authority. He wants you to say, nobody can tell me what I got to do. I'm the boss of me. That's how he operates, because he is the disobedient one. He is the one that won't let anybody, he will submit to nobody, not even God. And so he creates that same attitude in the earth. And we wonder why there's wars and battles and divorce and people fighting each other. It's because the spirit of disobedience is here. But let me tell you the end of the story. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Verse 2, and he laid, come on, read with me, and he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the and. One angel, not a whole bunch of them, one angel grabbed a hold of that snake by the neck and said, boy, you go sit down somewhere. That's the power you have on your side. They say a third of the angels fell with Satan. Well, if a third fell, where's two-thirds of them? Someone got it. They're still up there, baby. We're still in charge. Somebody say amen. Amen. Watch this. It gets even better. And I want you to see what God is going to do for you. Now, I need to explain. Once he creates disobedience, I want to clarify something here today while I get a chance. Have you ever heard of the Antichrist? If you've heard of it, raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you know what that is? Raise your hand. Okay, let me show you something. Hobbit hands, human hands. Hobbit, human. Give me some human hands. How many of you know what Antichrist is? Okay, how many don't? How many are not going to tell me one way or another? Okay, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. At least you're being honest. Let me share something with you. We think the Antichrist is going to come. Let me share something with you, because this is where the battle is today. I want you to turn in your Bible, please, to 1 John and go to verse 2, chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 18. And I want to reveal to you who the Antichrist is. You know, many people say it's the man with the mark, 666. It's that movie called Omen. How many saw that one back in the day? Yeah. No, that's not it. That's not it. It ain't the devil. Nope. I want to show you where the spirit of disobedience is. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. John is speaking to his disciples. He says, little children, it is the last time. We're not waiting on it. Now, this was written 2,000 years ago. How much closer are we today? He said, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now, there are many Antichrist. Did you catch that? There's more than one. Watch this. Whereby we know it's the last time. Because there's so many of them. Let's define it. Go to verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. He said this about the Antichrist. Go down to verse 22. And he begins to describe the characteristics of an Antichrist. He says this. Watch this. 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same has not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just cut to the chase. In church, we were told to be, we're the light of the world. We have to be the most gracious, loving people in the world. And I say that's true. But it doesn't mean we need to be blind. Amen. You need to understand what an Antichrist is. An Antichrist is any spirit, any doctrine that says Jesus Christ is not Lord. Now, I want you to think for a second. How many religions are in the world today? How many religions says Jesus is not the way, he's not the truth, and he's not the life? Ladies and gentlemen, this is how we know we're in the last days, because it's popping up everywhere. We have Islam, Buddhism, we have Hinduism. They worship over 3,000 gods. Buddhism, 1,000, Islam came 1,000 years after Christianity. And they went out from us. Did you understand? They believed the same Bible and went out from us and began a whole new thing. And the world is at war. But let me tell you something. It's all going to come to an end. God is going to come back on that cloud. And he's going to lift you up in that air. And when he is done, he is going to give you something that you have never seen before. I want to show you what 7 things you are going to get when you go to heaven. Watch this. When he comes back, cleanses the world, each one of us has the opportunity to get 7 things. Would you pull out your Bible and get ready for this? This is very important. I love this. 7 things you will receive from the Lord. We're going to go to the book of Revelation. And there's a reward for overcoming this world with all of its antichrist speaking. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. No, go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. Watch this. Let's all read together. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that, wow. Do you see, God didn't destroy the tree of life. It's in heaven, and God wants you to eat of it. And when you go to heaven, when he takes you up and cleanses this world and makes it right again, you'll have access to the tree of life. Does anybody know how many fruit are on that tree? How many think one fruit, two fruit, three fruit, four, five? You don't know. 12? Did you know the Bible says there are 12 fruit on the tree of life? 12. Guys, all of us can have a party at the tree. Watch this. Second thing you'll get. Go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. Eternal judgment. This is doctrine. Second thing that you'll get is this. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. Wow. What's the second death? I always have this phrase, you can live once and die twice, or live twice and die once. Can you write that down? Because y'all look at me crazy. Live once, die twice. Or live twice, die once. Now let me explain. You can live once and die twice. That means you're born again of your mother and moms gave birth to their sons and daughters. But in your life, you don't accept Christ. And even though you've seen your mama do it, you know what your mama preached. You saw what she taught. You saw how she lived. In your mind, you are saying, no, I'm going to be disobedient. I'm going to be just like that spirit that's in the world. I'm going to be disobedient. And there comes a day where you die. So you live once, and then you died once. And then at the resurrection of the dead, at eternal judgment, he's going to look and see if your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if it's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible says, he's going to cast you into the lake of fire, and that is the second death. But the good news is this. If you live twice, you only die once. Amen. Here's what I mean. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he will not enter the kingdom. What he meant was, you got to be, when a mother's water breaks, you come out. But then there's a point where you must be born again of the Spirit. And when you give your life to Christ, you get born by your mother, but born by your father. Somebody say amen. Amen. And if you have those two births, that means you live twice. That means when you die, you only die death once. But when the resurrection from the dead comes and eternal judgment is here, you will reign alive forever with him. Hallelujah. Not with the disobedient, but with the obedient to God. Look at the next one. This is for you. You will eat of the bread of heaven. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. This is the third gift you're going to get when you get to heaven. 2, verse 17. Here we go. We there? To him, 2:17. 2:17. It just looks so different. Okay, here we go. To him that is not what I have. Okay. To he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God said to the churches. He keeps talking to us. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him what? And in the stone, what? Which what? Saving. Do you see that? He is going to give you a new name. A stone that nobody knows what name it is but you and God. You may have a name here, but God's got a name for you in heaven. And it's a name that's going to capture who you really are. It's a gift. Watch the next thing in verse 26, 2 and 26, as we get ready to close. 2 and 26. And he says this, and he that overcometh and keepeth, please listen to me, keepeth my works when? Unto the end. Meaning, don't give up along the way. Life gets hard, but don't give up on God. Oh, I gotta say it again. Listen to me. The first thing we've got to know, if my husband is, not my husband, you understand. If my wife is sick at home, there's no reason I don't go to church. Oh, no. Come on now. Come on. Because y'all think that's recess. Oh, baby, you sick? I'm going to be around here. And you in there watching television. You know you need to be in church. You need to be prayed up to be praying for your wife. Don't disappear. Appear with power in your home. That's what God wants for your life. He says, I will get, watch this. He that overcometh and keepeth my works. Meaning that you live out this life all the way. Don't break your testimony. If you claim to be a Christian, be a Christian. If you claim to be a believer, be a believer. Don't be ashamed because other people say, hush your mouth. The state can't, you can't talk about Jesus in here. Man, I will open up my Bible and I will read from Genesis just cause. You don't scare me. The Bible tells me this, fear not man that can kill the body, but fear the man that can kill the body and destroy the soul in hell. That's God. I ain't worried about none of y'all. We got to get to a point that understand our reward, if we keep it to the end, our testimony. This is why it's important for you to study so that you know what you believe. If you can keep your testimony to your end, what will he do? Watch this. I will give power. Think of the place you want to go to vacation. Give me Aruba, God. Let me rule over Aruba. I think I need to go out and see the people. You know what I mean? Watch this. Not only is he going to give rule on earth, but watch this. He says this in Revelation 3 and 5. Revelation 3 and 5. Okay, before you look here, let me ask you a question. Don't change it yet. What do you look like when you die? Hold on. Don't yell it out because it might be embarrassing. How many believe when you die, you're naked? Boom! That was classic. That was classic. Yeah. I'll remember that one. Woo! Out of nowhere, silence. Ew. All right, let me put it this way. I want you to seriously think about, what are you going to look like when you leave this mortal body? Will you have clothes on? How many think you will? Okay, put your hands down. How many think you won't? How many don't know? Okay, let's get the answer. Go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. This is a gift that God's going to give you. This is beautiful. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Listen to me. You didn't make that cloth. It's his righteousness. That's why people talk about ghosts. You ever hear people talk about ghosts? And they're walking around and look like, oh, he's like he looked like an old soldier from, you know, the 1900s. No, let me tell you something about that. That's a devil. What? Listen, I don't care what the TV shows tell you. It's a demon. And let me tell you why. Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Okay? Now, If you're caught in the afterlife wearing your own clothes, you in trouble. Because that means you wore your own righteousness. You better be found with a white robe, and you better get off. Them hoochie mamas better go. You better tell Daisy she got to duke it out with somebody else. Sorry. Let me tell you what else you're going to get. Watch this. Yeah, there's more. He won't blot your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Listen to me very closely. Blot means that your name was there. And then he blots it out. Think about that one. Because all of this is talking to the church. If you overcome, teenagers, this ain't a joke for you either. You got to love God. You got to live right. You can't live separately during the week and come to church on Sunday. No. You got to overcome. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to overcome. Turn to the other side and say, I need you to overcome. See, when we give in to the world, we lose what we have. He says, listen, if you overcome, I won't blot your name out. That means your name it stays in the book. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He says, coming up now, one of the most incredible guys on all the earth, one of my special making things I've done, ladies and gentlemen, angels and God, Steve Yates. I'm going to walk in the air, baby. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. He's going to confess us with the Father and the angels. But Jesus said these words, if you're ashamed of me on earth, then when we get up there, I'm not going to say nothing about you before the Father and the angels. Look at your neighbor again and say, overcome. Watch this. I love this. Go to verse 12. We're almost done. Verse 12. Two more and we're done. 3 and 12. It says this, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I love this. And I will write upon him the name of my God. How many know you get tattoos in heaven? Amen. Y'all missed that one. And he says, I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. What is his name going to be? We know him as Jesus. But what is that name going to be when he comes back and rules it all? Last one. And this is what I believe is one of the best ones. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Our last verse. Can we read this together? To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. When you overcome, God's got a seat next to him just for you. Man, that's a big old throne. Overcome. Overcome. Listen to me. It's a very special message as I close. The Bible says that you must be born again. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He says, what are you talking about? I got to go back in my mother's womb for a second time. And Jesus said, no, not talking about that. He said these words, sir. He says, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he will in no wise see the kingdom. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Would you stand to your feet, please?